How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Wherever you are listening, in the United States, around the world, whatever you're doing, thank you for making us a part of your daily routine. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Jay King, and today we are here for you again. You have answered our call for Twitter questions with the hashtag Rain and Jays. We have got a ton to get to, Jay King. We are days away from August, the absolute dead period, the time where everybody in the NBA takes a vacation. Yet, we got a ton of questions. People want answers to what? I don't know.
To everything, man. Just life. Life in general.
We are here. We are here to answer your life advice.
Yeah, if you have marital questions,
yeah, man, yeah,
like maybe anything with relationships,
job,
we're here.
Money questions, investment advice, we got it all. Here's a good investment.
We got you.
Download iTunes and subscribe to us, Google Play, because it's free. It's free to do it, and you can get our shows immediately when we post them. But yeah, whatever. Let's just dive in. Everybody has.
That does sound like the best money you could ever spend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. With the money that you save on our podcast, you can buy all sorts of things, beer, whiskey.
Your next date should just be sharing a split headphones with you and your woman.
You know what? That is.
Or you and your man, or you and your man.
Whichever. Yeah, absolutely. Doesn't matter. We're here for everybody. We do have a solid 3% female listener base. That's actually true. That's
pretty impressive.
Statistic. We have 3% of our listeners are women, which is great. It should be more. See, that's what I love about basketball. Doesn't matter who you are, black, white, gay, straight, man, woman, we're here for everybody. We're all here enjoying basketball together. So let's just dive into it. We've got your questions and your answers. We're going to start with @GiveEmTheD. That's a great place to start. The rumor mill has cooled in
great Twitter handle. Very classy,
Derek.
Classy Twitter handle.
It's Derek. It's, you know, the D is for Derek, of course.
Or defense, yeah.
The defense. It's basketball.
We'll go with defense.
Rumor mill has cooled in regards to the Celtics making a big trade. Do you see one happening in the near future, though? So
no. I don't.
No.
I mean, it's possible. Been linked to are still out there. There are still other guys that could theoretically shake free, but at this stage, I mean, we're basically in August. This is normally past the time where a lot of trades happen. The Celtics have already started to finalize deals with guys like Demetrius Jackson, and at this point, I'd be surprised if a big trade happens. And that's okay. That's okay, because the Celtics are still going to be one of the top three teams in the East, probably. And they still have cap space for next year. And they still have the Brooklyn Nets pick, which is going to be fantastic. So, yeah, they're still in a good place. And obviously, it would have been cool to have a guy like Russell Westbrook or Blake Griffin. But I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. And to answer the question from Kay Schultz, have you heard any reports of any trade rumors recently? No, not nothing. Everything has died down. Everything has pretty much died down as far as the trade rumors go. But we still have some trade questions here from I Am Afromade. If the C's trade for Westbrook, do you expect them to include Isaiah Thomas? How can they coexist? Thomas off the ball, maybe. I'm going to answer that with I don't think the Celtics are going to trade for Westbrook at this point, because there's a report floating around now that Westbrook wants to stay in Oklahoma City. But just to play the theoretical thing, I wouldn't be surprised if they included Isaiah Thomas. I would be heartbroken if they included Isaiah Thomas, though, just because that dude has been campaigning hard for people to come to Boston. It would just be so cruel for a trade to get that megastar player to include the guy who's been recruiting everybody. How horrible would that
be? Yeah, wouldn't that be messed up? I mean, like here's a guy who's been texting Durant and texting Horford, and then to just go away and be like, oh, sorry, man, we're going to ship you for the first true superstar we get.
I mean, sorry, I get it. I get it. Player-wise, it makes sense. They want somebody to replace Westbrook. I would do that deal, I think, but depending on the entirety of the deal, but that would just, there'd be a cruelty to that where I keep saying Isaiah Thomas has embraced being a Celtic more than anybody, and to have him moved for one of these superstars in a trade, just that would just be mean. It'd be mean-spirited. Derek Moore at Greenleaf Sound, who sent a few questions in, but here's one of them. Do you think sending AB or Smart with our 2018 Celtics pick for Okafor is a good deal? And then he amended it, said AB and Young with our 2018 pick. But back to the Okafor deal, I'm not giving up Avery Bradley. I wouldn't even do with Bradley for Okafor straight up, like none of that stuff.
Yeah, I would hesitate. I don't know. I mean, Okafor is one of those guys you can like squint your eyes a little bit and see him becoming a star, because he can already score as well as anybody in the low post. He's a load down there. And if he fixes some things up defensively, all of a sudden, and he's got like a 7'6", 7'7" wingspan, something absurd. Like, it's not crazy to envision him becoming a plus defender at some point. But right now, he's just so far away. He's kind of a risk, I think. So right now, I'd be no on moving a key piece for Okafor.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't want to get too crazy with that discussion. I think we've had it so much on this show that it doesn't really warrant going too much deeper into it. This is I'm kind of out on Okafor, understanding his offensive abilities. I just think that the versatility and stuff isn't there. At For the Win with two O's, what do you think about the Celtics keeping the Nets picks and waiting for the future with the Warriors being so good? And, you know, forget about the Warriors for a minute. Like, and I get the concept that the Warriors are dominating the landscape and you kind of want to let that sun live its life and flame out eventually after it swallowed all the planets of the NBA. But I don't care that they are great and allegedly unbeatable, because so much can happen over the next few years. You can't just prepare for a good team 4 years from now because Golden State looks like they do. You don't know who's going to get hurt. What if Curry's ankle issues come back, or Durant's foot issues come back, or there's a freak injury, or if they just all get pissed off at one another, or something, anything could happen where things fall apart quickly. There are two major free agents on that team next summer, Durant and Steph Curry. What if for some reason somebody gets a bug in their ear and decides to leave? What if Durant's people get in his ear again and say, this wasn't a good decision, we're going to backtrack, go back to Oklahoma City, go to Boston, you liked Boston, whatever it is. So much can go wrong that even though things look the way they do, you can't plan for that domination for the next 3 years. You just have to put the team together that you can put together, make it as good as possible, craft a contender, and then go out there and try to beat the best team out there. If it's Golden State, if you meet them in the finals, you try to beat them. So, but that might include keeping the Nets picks. You might go out there and make the picks in 17 and 18 and build your champion that way. When you guys were talking, when you and Danger Cart were talking, he laid out a pretty good scenario where you can build a pretty good team for the future by keeping those picks. So I'm okay with keeping those picks. That doesn't necessarily mean we're waiting too far down the line. It's just a different way of building a winner.
Yeah, it all depends on the options. You know, if if someone like Russell Westbrook, Blake Griffin shakes free and wants to sign with you, yeah, hell yeah, you do that. But if you don't have an option to trade some of those assets and make yourself a contender, then having a fallback plan of picking probably in the top five of the 2017 draft, maybe in the top five of the 2018 draft, after picking number three in 2016, that's not a bad fallback plan. Like, Celtics are in a good place. And the only thing that can really screw it up right now is if they make some type of bad trade and a risky trade or a trade that doesn't pan out. And I don't think Danny Ainge is interested in doing anything like that. He's shown time after time he's kind of trying to swindle people. So, I mean, it's feasible that they keep those picks. It all depends on what stars are available and what options are available out there. So, yeah, it could happen. It's not out of the question.
Yeah,
definitely not.
I agree. There are so many different roads the Celtics could take. That's part of the beauty of this rebuild, that it presented itself in many options. They can go out right now and offer a ton for a big superstar trade. If that presents itself, they can do it. They can go and build through the draft. They have the third pick this year, a potential top three pick next year, a potential top three pick the following year. That's essentially following the 76ers plan of tanking without tanking, with having a good team and adding top three picks over three straight years. That's you can kind of choose your own adventure here with how this rebuild has set up.
It's been pretty remarkable how many options they've given themselves and how much flexibility they've given themselves while still adding good pieces, good young pieces. So
right.
Danny Ainge deserves all the credit he gets for the rebuilding process so far.
We're talking about a team that yesterday we talked about competing for the second seed in the East. And then they have all of these other options. That's amazing. Okay, moving on. Just a funny one here from Jesse Doran. How much is Danny Ainge paying Kevin O'Connor to keep fueling trade speculation? Every time something comes out that says they're done, Kevin's like, well, not necessarily. They could pull something off, which is funny because Kevin's great. Kevin's been on the show. He's fantastic.
Kevin does some great stuff, but I will say I think he's a bit on the optimistic side in regards to trade possibilities.
But he may be.
He puts in all the research. He does all the work. I give him a lot of credit for doing that. He goes a long way to write those stories, like the whale thing, and then the the Russell Westbrook comparison to KG. He does a lot of work in that. So a lot of respect for him for all the work he puts into
it. If you don't know Kevin O'Connor, if you didn't listen to our show, well, first of all, you can go back to the our Audio Boom page and scroll down to find the Kevin O'Connor episode. It was pre-draft. You'll get to understand exactly how good he really is. But if you don't know him, it's at Kevin O'Connor NBA. If you don't follow him on Twitter, absolute must follow. This kid knows what he's talking about, and he writes for 20 different outlets, so you'll see a lot of good stuff from him. Couple more things with the trade. At Boston Sports with a Z, is a big trade still possible with the Demetrius Jackson signing? The Celtics and at Nicolo Bagani at Celtics Nation Italia, why did the Celtics already sign Jackson and Jaylen Brown, and not Jaylen Brown? Does that mean anything? Do you believe they're preparing for a big trade? So, to set this up, if you haven't heard the story, Demetrius Jackson agreed today to a four-year deal worth a reported $5 million with a team option.
Five and a half
with a team option for that fourth year. So, not only is he getting paid like a late first round pick for a guy who was picked in the middle of the second round, it's a contract that doesn't include the restricted free agency and the team options, like all that structure. He's got I have to look at what the final structure of that deal is. It just seems like he's got a four-year deal worth $5.5 million and a team option for that fourth year, which is huge for him. That's a big deal. It's a big commitment for a second-round pick. Jaylen Brown has not officially signed. What that means, I don't know. But I know that once they do sign him, they can't trade him until the middle of December. So that's fueling this speculation, these types of questions. And I guess all we can say is, I don't know. Maybe this
anything is possible.
Exactly. I mean, the Celtics and Danny Ainge, they flexibility might as well, he might as well just change his name to Flexibility Ainge, because that's all he tries to maintain with all of these moves. I think he might be hanging on to Jaylen Brown as an unsigned first-round draft pick for as long as he possibly can, until he knows for damn well sure that he can't trade him. That's entirely possible. Or maybe they just haven't agreed to the framework of the deal. I don't know. Look, first-round picks, there's a scale. If you don't know how this works, there's a scale for every pick. And within that scale, there's a number, but there's like a 15% variance that you can go from whatever that number is to.
You can go up to 120% of the rookie scale.
So you can go, right.
And most teams do. Most teams go to 120%.
The Celtics have generally done that. And so, but they haven't done that yet with Jaylen Brown, which means they can still trade him at any point. So, I don't know. This is where I would insert my shrug emoji on Twitter. I don't know.
I'll go with the shrug emoji too.
It could mean, and that's where we are right now. It could mean something. It could mean absolutely nothing. And that's the best.
Where else could you get analysis like that?
It could mean
something. It could mean absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
That's why you come to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. We're here to give you the good stuff.
Yeah. We're here to get you lukewarm takes on this. Like, I have absolutely no doubt that Danny Ainge has irons in the fire. He is trying. He is working. While the rest of us are getting ready to go away for August, he is still going to be sitting there ordering Chipotle from his office. He is still working, and these are things that can potentially protect the Celtics should they make a deal. Jackson is a guy that could play that Rozier role next year if there is a trade that takes away a Marcus Smart or an Avery Bradley and pushes Rozier up into that role, and now Jackson slides into Rozier's role as that emergency guard. That's what that could mean. And Jaylen Brown could very well be gone. Or it could be meaningless. Who knows? Jesse Doran asks, am I missing something with D-Jax? Mediocre summer league and no room for him in the rotation. Kind of extending this conversation.
Look, summer league is a small sample. I'll say that. You know, they played, what, six games?
Yep.
And versus his entire college career that the Celtics have watched him and judged that he was worthy of that pick. A lot of people thought he was going to be a first-round pick, and he slid to them at 45. He still has a lot of athleticism, a lot of explosiveness, a lot of strength. And, yeah, there are things he needs to work on. Every rookie point guard needs to work on a lot of things. But, yeah, and then in this day and age, it's not like – like, that was a huge it seems like a huge contract for a second-round pick, but the salary cap is so crazy, and this draft was deep, and it's just kind of the way the world is working, I guess, where guys of his stature who could have been first-round picks after they slide, they just command more money, and you can really luck out by sliding into the second round, and Jackson did that. So, yeah, I don't think he missed anything. He definitely didn't have a great summer league, but it's more about his college career and his potential. And they think he, from everything I've heard about Demetrius Jackson, just a great work ethic, great attitude, and they like that about him. And obviously the physical tools are there, and he has some things to work on, and they think he's going to iron it out. And even so, like, 4-year deal with a team option in the fourth year, that's nothing. That's like a minimum contract, basically. It's just like less than $1.5 million per year.
They could eat that if they needed to.
It seems like a big deal, but it's really not.
And one thing we should say, when a guy like Jackson is signed at this point, okay, so you saw him play a few games in Vegas, a little bit in Utah. I don't know how many Providence College games everybody has watched.
Notre Dame, John.
I'm sorry, I was thinking of Bentle. Notre Dame. I don't know how many Notre Dame games that people have watched. Maybe one, maybe two, even if you've watched three or four. It's still not as much as the Celtics have watched. And they have brought him in for workouts. And they have spoken to him. And they have worked with him in practices. And not just the summer league games, but other scrimmages and things like that. The breadth of knowledge the Celtics have is vastly superior to the knowledge that any of us, myself, Jay, anybody that's following this team, that's covering this team, they have not seen as much of any of these players as the Celtics have. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't be wrong about these guys. They most certainly can be. But the decision-making process that goes into this it requires such a significant amount of game film and working with these guys individually. And Danny Ainge's input and Brad Stevens' input and other coaches' input. So they see something. And maybe we are missing some of it, but they see something. And considering the contract, the numbers, and everything, that they feel comfortable with this, and it's really not too much of a risk, all things considered. So let's keep that in mind and keep an open mind when it comes to him, and we'll see where it goes. And like I said in a previous podcast, he's got another little guy, Isaiah Thomas, there to kind of help walk him through what it's like to be a little guy in the NBA. I kind of like how that dynamic is going to work. Back to the questions, back to Derek Moore at Greenleaf Sound. Can you see Jaylen Brown entering the starting lineup at the two or three by midseason?
No. I don't even have to hear the rest. No.
Okay.
No. I'm high on Jaylen Brown. I think he's got a lot of potential. He's not cracking the starting rotation as long as Avery Bradley's there. As long as Jay Crowder's there, as long as Isaiah Thomas is there. I mean, who's he going to start over?
He's 19 years old. I'm totally with you.
He's 19 years old. He just shot like low 30% during summer league. Yeah, he does a lot of cool things, and yeah, he has highlights, and yeah, he has a whole lot of potential. But give him some time. Yeah, it's going to take him some time.
Right.
And it's a good thing, I think, for him that he's on a team where he can afford to take time. He doesn't have to come in and play a big role. He doesn't have to come in and do anything except be really athletic and drive to the hoop and do all the things he excels at. So I think it's a perfect situation for him. I think if he had to overextend himself somewhere else, he might be in for a rough season. But I think with Boston, he'll just play a small role and he'll be what he does best. And that'll fit him well. And he'll come off the bench and play however many minutes a game and kind of play a smaller role and start to figure things out.
We talked about this in prior shows. Situation matters. I'm a huge believer in that. And it's not even whether you believe or not believe. That is a fact. Situation matters. Jaylen Brown could go to a team like the Lakers, let's say, and be forced into big minutes early, and maybe it wouldn't work out because they needed him to do too much too soon. Boston is a good situation for a guy like him. He can get the minutes, and we saw what he could do against lesser defenses. An inferior defender he can exploit. And in this situation, even after a big trade, he'll still not be a starter, I don't think. And so he's still going to face inferior defenses. Second units, you know, maybe third line guys. He'll be in a good position to succeed. And then it's up to him. But the situation is a pretty good one for him. So let's – I just want to get this one out of the way because at Fever underscore Green did ask if Jalen shines early on in the regular season, does Jay Crowder become expendable? What do you think we would look to add to
No. You guys are looking at this the wrong way.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown and Jay Crowder are two of the most – could be. I mean, Jaylen Brown isn't there yet. Could be two of the most valuable commodities in the league. That type of guy who can swing from the three to the four and be athletic enough and strong enough to guard twos, threes, and fours. That is hugely valuable. You want to get as many of those guys on your team as possible. I don't think Jaylen Brown emerging has any effect on Jay Crowder's trade value or anything like that. Obviously, you know that Jaylen Brown plays a similar position, and maybe at some point will overtake Crowder in the hierarchy, but that's a long way away. So
yeah. Even if let's accept the premise that Jaylen Brown has such an amazing breakout season that he overtakes Crowder.
ROI.
Let's pretend that that's something that happens. Why would you get rid of Crowder? Why wouldn't you just keep him for the depth? Why wouldn't you want that coming off the bench? Why wouldn't you try to play them together and see how that works? So there's this feeling that happens whenever two guys who play the same position, you say, oh, if this guy is better than the other guy's expendable, why not just try to make that work? Unless Jay Crowder, if he is somehow magically overtaken in the starting lineup, if he just decides, well, I'm out of here. Well, then, yeah, then in that case, whatever. But in the intro, like, if that's the scenario, I would still try to figure out a way to get Jay Crowder a ton of minutes because he's super valuable. He's a really, really good player. Play him at the four. Bring him off the bench.
I love the Jaylen Brown optimism we're getting, though.
It's right.
Like, all the fans that were like...
2 months ago, it was probably booing
when they drafted him are now like, you know what? I think Jaylen Brown might make Jay Crowder expendable. Or... I think Jaylen Brown might crack the starting lineup pretty soon. So I love it. I love this, like, the cycle that Jaylen Brown has already gone through.
We said it in a past show. It won't take long for him to win people over. It won't.
Yeah.
Because he's so athletic. Of course, but whatever. That's fine. Let's see how this goes.
People's heads off.
None of that's going to happen. None of it's going to happen. One last trade question. We've been on this show for half an hour now, it feels like. We're still answering potential trade questions. Nathan Valancourt, do you think the Celtics could pry Nurkic away from the Nuggets? It looks like Jokic is their future center. I feel like I'm calling a Wimbledon tennis match with all of these Nurkic and Jokic and all of these Central European names.
Do Nurkic's and Jokic's play tennis?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I guess. I don't pay much attention to tennis. I'm a Rafael Nadal guy.
Are you?
Nadal, baby. But, yeah, he's one guy that could theoretically become available at some point, might already be available. Yeah, that's definitely a situation to watch over in Denver because those two guys probably both play center and might not coexist perfectly together. So, yeah, at some point Nurkic could be available, and who knows, but... I mean, there's a lot of guys like that. And right now, I mean, Celtics have Amir Johnson, Al Horford, and Tyler Zeller. Like, that's they're looking pretty good at center right now. So there's no real need to go out and get someone like Nurkic, even though at some point he might be available.
Yeah, I'm with you. We'll see. We'll see how that plays
out. I do like Nurkic, though. And I not as much as I like Jokic, but I do like Nurkic. They'd make a great tag team at Wimbledon.
They would.
Tag team? Doubles team.
Doubles. Thank you.
Clearly, I'm very knowledgeable about that.
Or tag team if we want to go WWE. That'd be great. I'd love to see those. There's a couple of big guys. I think they could hold the belts for a while. Justin Quinn, how realistic do you think the rumors are of a Larry Sanders return to the NBA with the Celtics are? I think his return to the NBA is definitely possible. With the Celtics, I don't know.
He's out there teasing people. He's out there teasing people on Twitter.
He's trolling and polling.
Yeah. Trolling and polling. Yeah, I mean, he could come back. He was a very good rim protector when he was playing. And then he decided not to play, and now he might play again. So, yeah. We said this on the last podcast. The Celtics just have a lot of big men.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe you want to take a risk on Larry Sanders, see what happens. But, again, they don't have a need. Al Horford, Amir Johnson, Tyler Zeller, those are three serviceable or better big men.
I want to do my Clyde Frazier.
Centers. So.
I want to do my Clyde Frazier impression. He's... Larry Sanders out there polling and trolling.
I hope you're wearing one of his suits.
I am actually. I'm wearing the cow suit right now.
Awesome.
If you don't know what that is, if you're listening and you don't know what that is, immediately Google Clyde Frazier cow suit and just bask in its glory. Just do it right now. We'll wait. Actually, we won't. You can pause this. It's a podcast. Moving on to speaking of big men, we're going to get done. We're done with the trades. We're done with the trade stuff. Alex, at Alex Kungu, which C's would benefit most from Horford's presence? So Al Horford is now a Celtic. He wants to know which Celtics would benefit most from Al Horford's presence. Everybody?
First of all, did I convince Alex to change his Twitter name?
I think you did, because you called him out for a lot of U's in his Twitter handle.
Yeah, and then he changed it. I think the Rain and Jays might have directly influenced that Twitter change. And I'm kind of proud of that. I might put that on my resume. But I'm going to go with Isaiah Thomas, because Al Horford can shoot, which is awesome.
Yeah.
He'll add some assists just because he's going to make the jumpers that Sullinger used to brick. And second of all, he's a great pick and roll partner. Like, just really, really good pick and roll partner. He's smart. He can get to the hoop. He can do the intermediate thing where he stops in the lane, passes it off to somebody else. He's just really good. And so I think his shooting space is a floor for Thomas. His ability to work in the pick and roll adds another layer to that threat. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Isaiah Thomas benefits the most from Al Horford.
That is a fantastic choice. I can't argue with that. I will say I'll give two names because I make the
Brad
rules.
Stevens.
Brad Stevens. Sure, that would be a third name. I'm going to say Amir Johnson, number one, because the load gets taken off of him a little bit, and he can come off the bench. And there was a stretch where he had some injury issues, the foot, the feet. I think him playing a little bit of a different role will really help him out this year. And then also Kelly Olynyk, because if they do start the five that we think, Olynyk is going to get a lot of good looks. He's going to have an opportunity. And when you say the floor is spaced for Isaiah Thomas, the floor is also spaced for everybody else, including Olynyk, who needs to aggressively attack the rim. And I think this opportunity for him to kind of go for his offense, it will be good for him. So I'm really looking forward to what Olynyk can do as a stretch five in this offense. So I might go Olynyk first before Amir Johnson, but I think both of those bigs are really going to be helped by Horford's presence. Okay, the other signing for the Celtics, at Top Dog Ray, DAWG, why hasn't the Gerald Green and Tyler Zeller signing been made official? Also, why so much money for Zeller? He's our backup center. And one more Zeller thing. Aaron asks, do you think Zeller will have the same role as last year? So from the beginning, Gerald Green and Tyler Zeller signings not made official. I don't think there's any real reason to that.
Shrug emoji.
It's been announced, and I think the Celtics might have some other things going on, and then maybe they're just trying to figure out the fine points of the exact dollars and cents, but I wouldn't think too much of that. Why so much money for Zeller? I don't think it's a lot of money for Zeller in this new economy. He's getting, what was it, $8 million a year?
Yeah, $8
million. $8
million. And, which is less than Etuan Moore, I believe.
Right. And when you think about the salary cap has gone up, what, like 35%? He's not making the $8 million what $8 million used to mean. He's making kind of what like $5.5 million used to mean,
and that, plus it's kind of a trade chip because it has that non guaranteed second year, and boom, you know, all of a sudden you've got more salary to add to a trade if you need to put one together. So Tyler Zeller trade chip, fifth big man again.
Yeah,
probably out of the rotation, but definitely nice depth to have. And, yeah, $8 million ain't what it used to be. Not even close.
No. I mean, that's – you're thinking about signing a guy with, like, mid-level money. It's just – the money, it's not a big deal at all. And especially with the Celtics, they're nowhere even close to the capped out. They still have money left. So they're fine money-wise. And when you compare Zeller to what everyone else is making, he's okay. But, yeah, as far as his role goes, for Aaron's question – It's probably going to be very much the same as last year. Very nice insurance in case Amir Johnson needs to sit or somebody sprains an ankle or twists a knee or something. He'll come in. He'll do what he's always done. Set good picks, roll, pop, be solid. Same thing. He's going to be that same guy, and he'll have plenty of DNPs. And next year or the year after, however it is with their guarantee, he'll become an unrestricted free agent and at that point, we expect to move on and be on his merry way. So that is that. Justin Hunter from Australia, at Justin Hunter NBA, another new Twitter handle. Although they're very different players, does Gerald Green have the potential to be an Evan Turner-type wild card? I mean, not an Evan Turner-type player, because that's not his game. I would be shocked if he became that kind of player. But a wild card, I guess, in terms of a guy that produces unexpectedly and becomes weirdly valuable.
Yeah.
He can't. The potential is there.
He could. He can really shoot. So there are some things he does really well at an NBA level. He's a freak athlete. He's one of the greatest jumpers who has ever stepped on an NBA court. He is, with the exception of a down year last year and kind of tailing off a little bit the year before, he's a good shooter. So there are things he does well. If he's in good shape, if he's maybe Brad Stevens can maximize what he does and then just kind of ignore the fact that he hasn't ever played defense or had much awareness at either end of the court. So, he's intriguing in the fact that he does some things well, I'll say that, and maybe if you can maximize that, he becomes a good bench scorer and a guy who adds spacing and a good shooter, which is obviously what the Celtics need. But I think best case scenario, he doesn't play many minutes because you have Jay Crowder, you have Jaylen Brown, you have Marcus Smart, you have Avery Bradley, you have Terry Rozier, who hopefully steps up. So best case scenario, I don't think they want Gerald Green to play a big role, but who knows? I mean, he does have some talent, and obviously he's had a lot of skills since he walked into the NBA out of high school way back when. I thought he was going to be a potential phenom.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to him contributing sparingly. I'll just say it that way. It's kind of funny. Jeff Clark, Celtics blog, tweeted that. So, like wishing me a happy birthday and saying that the Tinny Ainge got me Gerald Green to replace Evan Turner as my object of scorn on the podcast. So I think, thank you.
Although you grew to love Evan Turner.
I did grow to accept Evan Turner for what he was. No, he was good. He was good. At the end, things
reveal your love, John. Reveal your love.
I'm just happy that he got paid. Everything's good. We're on our way.
Reveal your love. You begrudgingly love him. You won't even admit it.
Jesse Doran asks, is Isaiah Thomas our starting point guard in 3 years? Do you think his ideal spot is sixth man if we have championship aspirations? We entered last season with Isaiah Thomas being a sixth man and us arguing for him to be the sixth man. 3 years from now, so much can change. So much can change. And he'll be in his 30s. He'll be in his early 30s. So, I mean,
I'll say this. He's an all-star. We should stop talking about it. They have a championship team. Should he come off the bench? This guy's an all-star. He's a dynamite offensive player. Give him some respect. Obviously, there are better two-way point guards out there, but there aren't a lot of guys you can upgrade to from Isaiah Thomas. And if he's part of your team, yeah, you could be really, really good. So I think that feeling should go away. He is an all-star, and he's an all-star for a reason. Let's give him some respect. That being said, I have no idea who will be the starting point guard in 3 years. Yeah. Maybe it's him. Maybe it's someone else. His contract is up in 2 years, so they'll have to make a decision there one way or another. So who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, it's
anybody. Anybody could be
anybody. Marcus Smart could be Terry Rozier. Could be a guy we haven't mentioned yet or don't even know exists yet. Could be a guy that we draft in 3 years. Who knows?
Could be a junior in high school.
Okay. Finn Greenspan. Why is Hunter on the bubble? Young makes sense. I don't get giving up on a shooter after 1 year. And in addition to that, at Strandmark 4, do you think Hunter will get waived?
No, I don't think he'll get waived. I think he's on the bubble because you want competition, right? You don't want to just go into training camp and be like, okay, we're going to trade or cut James Young. We're going to get rid of Bentel. We are going to waive John Holland. Like, no, you want to have competition. You want James Young fighting for a spot and see what happens. And I think, yeah, you want to see light a fire under Hunter's butt. See if he puts on that 10 or 15 pounds by the time training camp arrives and maybe shows up with a different mentality. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that he's on the bubble, but I do think it's not a good sign for how they feel about him. And we've talked about this on other podcasts. Signing Gerald Green, that doesn't happen if either RJ Hunter or James Young had emerged in the Celtics' eyes as a viable option off the bench. So right now, they don't think Hunter is ready for minutes. Right now, he's a guy who's fighting for... I think he's pretty safe as far as spots go. I think James Young is behind him probably pretty substantially heading into training camp. But, yeah, I mean, they're obviously not thrilled with his progress. And it would really stink, wouldn't it, to waive a first-round pick from last season?
Yeah, no, I don't buy Mello that.
Treatment? That'd be tough. I don't think it'll happen.
I don't think he's there. I don't think he's that far behind. I keep going
RJ
back
Hunter
to
fanboy. RJ Hunter fanboy.
I keep going back to the quote you mentioned it on one of our shows that during the Hawks series, he said at some point, I forget what the scenario was, but he said, "How easy is summer league going to be?" That he turned to like Terry Rozier or somebody. I remember you mentioning that quote, and he said, "How easy is summer league going to be?" And looking at his summer league, I really do think that he might have taken for granted how easy summer league was going to be, not taking into account that summer league is full of really, really hungry guys, and you can't just go
show up.
And then
Devin
Booker, right? which was his only good game against one of the really great young players in the league. So, I don't know if it's early for wake up calls or whatever, but that quote that you mentioned on that one show, I even forget what show it was. That to me says a lot. And it just sticks in my head that I just really, really wonder if Hunter took for granted that having gone against the Atlanta Hawks in the playoffs and gotten a good amount of significant minutes, that he thought he could show up at Summer League and be just be good. And hopefully for him, because I am a fan, but hopefully for him between then, but the Summer League and the beginning of training camp, it'll wake him up so he can go out there and have a good training camp. If he doesn't have a good training camp, and if he continues to be what he was in Summer League, then I'll just have to admit that I was wrong, and he might have to go. But that
if he took anything for granted, he shouldn't do it anymore, because it's obvious the Celtics aren't particularly pleased with his development, and that's it. He needs to get better, and he needs to prove himself. He needs to prove he's a shooter. He needs to prove he can be physical enough. He needs to prove that he can do enough other things, defending, rebounding, all that, to get on the court and knock down shots. And that's it. That's all.
Two more things before we wrap this up. Sam Sheehan. This is a fun one.
I like this one. This is a good
one. I'm pitching a new reality TV show based on this upcoming training camp, and I'm bringing in the Rain and Jays to help produce. Who are the Rain and Jays choosing to eliminate at each of the selection ceremonies, and what is your tagline when they are cut? So theoretically, we're doing a bachelor-type training camp where we have a couple of days of practice and scrimmages and games, and we eliminate a player, and then we have to give them a tagline. So when Trump did The Apprentice, he said, "You're fired." If you watch the Food Network and you watch Chopped, somebody says, "Oh, I'm sorry, you've been chopped." So we need to come up with a cool tagline and figure out who we're eliminating at these camps. So, do you want to go first or should I?
I don't have any cool taglines, man. This is going to be tough.
You got a tagline?
Okay, go ahead.
I got a tagline. Okay, so I'm going to cut. We've gone through the first round. James Young is up. So we line him up. It's James Young.
You're putting James Young before John Holland.
I'm putting James Young. I'm putting John Holland. I'm putting RJ Hunter. Three people. It's always going to be the three people. I'm putting them in front of me. And I'm
shooting. No Ben Bentel?
Not in the first round. Not in the first round.
Oh, okay.
Not in the first round. This is the first one. Now, I'm going with the Celtics. I'm going with the Irish. I'm going with the luck of the Irish as my theme. And I say, "I'm sorry, James Young. Your luck has run out." Boom. You're out.
Oh, this podcast will never get cheesier, but I kind of liked it.
Come on. That's what reality TV is. It's a cheesy tagline. It's dramatic music. It's lights. It's, you know, that's... Come on.
Your
luck has run out. And then you bring in Lucky to walk him out off the court.
I'd probably just come in and be like, "James, you should have worked harder, son."
But look, this is terrible. That's a terrible... We need a tagline. The guy asked for it. Sam asked us for a tagline. You need to have something, you know.
Nobody cares about your hair anymore, James.
All right. We need to work on your taglines.
Yeah, the taglines. I knew that was going to be an issue as soon as I saw that question. On Twitter.
All right.
See, I don't watch reality TV. I'm more of like a basketball type of
guy. I don't watch reality TV either, although
you've watched enough to come up with like
everyone knows Trump, you're fired. Like, that's everyone knows that.
I didn't know that.
I will come on. Come on. I've been getting crap all day on Twitter about Game of Thrones. You don't know that Trump says you're fired after The Apprentice? I didn't even watch The Apprentice and I know that he says that.
Yeah, my bad.
Jay King, your luck has run out. I will admit that I do like Chopped. Like on a lazy Sunday, if I've just skipped the gym and I'm sitting at home and there's nothing on, I will binge watch like 2 hours worth of Chopped episodes. Like, that's crazy.
Okay.
Like I that's a guilty pleasure.
You're probably gonna dislike this question. What is Chopped?
Chopped is this is a great show. It's on the Food Network, and they have three chefs.
Come on.
No, it's good. It's fun.
No. So, put on NBA TV, John.
dude, there's only so much NBA playoff playback from the second round of the 1989 playoffs that I can watch sometimes. So, look, this is a nice, guilty, non-basketball pleasure. Chopped, they have three chefs, and what they do is they give them a mystery basket. And you have to do an appetizer course, a dinner course, and a dessert course. And then somebody wins $10,000 at the end. And
what sounds like Marcus Smart's offensive game. Right,
exactly. And they say, okay, for an appetizer, you have to use, like, and they give them, like, three weird things. You're like, you have to use gummy worms, a steak, and a tennis ball. Like, some weird, crazy combination of things. And these people have to take these ingredients and turn them into something that's great. I'm telling you.
You're really into Chopped, my man.
It's a great little mindless way to pass a few hours. That's just my little guilty pleasure. I won't watch Game of Thrones, but I'll watch 3 hours worth of Chopped on a Sunday.
Throw on NBA TV. Watch some Rick Kamler or something, man. Rick Kamler.
I'm watching Chopped. Okay, last question. We're going to end this on a fun one. Even though I really don't know what my answer is. Kevin, at Kevin Gway, G-W-A-Y. What is the greatest regular season Celtics game in your lifetime?
Ooh.
Jeez. Now, my lifetime, it goes a long way back, and I've forgotten a lot of things due to various outside influences. But greatest regular season
due to all
game,
that beer I drank at these games.
Yes. Greatest regular season game. Okay. This is going to be a recency bias, but I can't.
Real recency bias.
Well, I can't get past. Like, what regular season game has meant more for the Celtics?
I've got mine in mind.
What regular season game has meant more for the Celtics than beating Golden State in Golden State last season?
Probably one when they got out of the first round.
Regular season game.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me see. Let's see. I was going to go with, and this is just all personal preference because this is, so when I got my job covering the Celtics, I knew I was starting April 1st. And I was starting right before the last playoff run of the Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett era. So I went out, and when I heard that, I got tickets for me and my brothers to go to one last game I could go as a fan. And it turned into this. The Celtics were playing the Nuggets. It turned into a triple overtime thriller. Pierce had 27, 14, and 14 and hit like all these big shots. He hit a huge three to tie it in double overtime. And it just turned into like just this incredible game. And it was my last game as a fan, so I've got to go with that for sentimental reasons. I took all my brothers. It was just an awesome, awesome experience. And then my two youngest brothers were like, I don't know, 14 and 15 at the time. And afterward, we were in one of the parking garages outside the TD Garden, and the people beside us were just smoking all sorts of weed. And I think that was like the first talk I had about marijuana with my youngest brothers while we were waiting for Paul Pierce, or while we were waiting to leave after Paul Pierce had just decimated the Nuggets in triple overtime. And it was kind of awkward because my brother, they were so innocent, man. And it was just weed wafting in from the car next door. But yeah,
that was funny.
Yeah. They probably weren't as innocent as I thought they were, to be honest. They were 14 and 15. They probably weren't innocent at all. But in my eyes, they were innocent. Right. But that was an unbelievable game. What, just unreal. And they just hit big shot after big shot. And it was awesome. It was an awesome, awesome game. So I'm going with Celtics Nuggets, February 10th, 2013.
That's a fantastic story. That's much better than mine. Because I haven't gone to a game that had that, like a regular season game that had that kind of intense. Like, I've gone to games with my little brother and had like good times, but not a combination like that where the game was just an epic game and you had that emotional attachment. That's an amazing story. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, that was unreal. That the one game, it was the one game I went to that year as a fan, and it turned into a triple overtime thriller. Paul Pierce, like triple double, just nuts. You couldn't have scripted it how it worked out. It was awesome.
That's fantastic. That, I think that's the place to leave this show on that note, because that has everything. It's got family. It's got drugs. It's got a triple overtime win. It's got Paul Pierce. It's got everything. It's got all the elements. So I am not going to sully this conversation with any further words.
Jared Sullinger.
Other than to say thank you for listening. Once again, really appreciate it. If you haven't done so, or if you're a first-time listener, first of all, thank you. But please go subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Audio Boom, wherever you find your podcasts. Go to our posts, grab the RSS feed, plug it in. You'll get it as soon as we post it. And rate us. A 5-star rating goes a long way. It spreads the word. We joke around a lot, but a 5-star rating and a good review, it pumps us up on iTunes and wherever it is. It gets us out there. It exposes us. And it gets more people to hopefully enjoy the show, as we hope you have enjoyed the show. And so that's where we'll leave it. We hope you join us next time on the Locked On Celtics podcast, here on the Locked On Podcast Network.